Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, man who covers the Indians for The Athletic, he is Zach Meisel. Hello, Zach. How are you, buddy?
Doing well, fellas. How are you?
We're doing well, and we're thinking trade. And I know with everything that's going on in the world, that might not be the nicest thing to do, but we've already seen teams making trades. To me, this team is screaming for a trade, and the situation that happened in Chicago is a factor in that, Zach. Would you trade Mike Clevinger here, not just because of that, but mainly because you have guys hitting above 250 and you have a surplus of starting pitching?
See, I think the framing here is important. I think Clevinger makes the most sense because, number one, he was probably going to be a pretty popular name on the rumor mill this winter, just for the fact that the Indians have starting pitching depth. Obviously, they need some offense. We think he'll have 2 years of control left, depending on how long he stays in the minors and whether a grievance follows that. But he just seemed like a sensible trade candidate if you explore the Indians' history and how they've operated in recent years especially. So you take all that into consideration. You add, you know, a little bit of what happened the last couple weeks. And yeah, it makes sense. I think teams will be calling about him. I think the Indians will be listening. I'm sure teams will be calling about other people too. But he's the guy that just, if you can find the right deal, he probably fits in more of those from the Indians' perspective than anybody else.
With 2 years of club control and the fact that there are going to be far more sellers than buyers, what do you think the haul is for a guy like Clevinger? Do you think it's an established bat, or is it going to be a young prospect type thing?
So I actually don't. I think the trade market is going to be confusing. I think every team, you know, normally there's this obvious divide in the weeks leading up to the trade deadline where you have buyers and sellers because you have teams that, I mean, they're not even trying. And normally the Orioles and the Tigers and the Marlins and teams like that, you would pluck off any veterans from them. And, you know, there would be a couple disappointing teams like the Red Sox or the Phillies who, you know, you could get some decent talent from because they didn't meet expectations and they aren't bound for the playoffs. But this year you have more than half the league making the postseason. You have such a limited sample size of what teams have learned to this point and what they might learn for the next month. But it complicates matters. I mean, there's only a handful of teams that aren't even in the playoff race, and those teams are, you know, aside from, like, the Pirates, those teams are only a few games out, technically. So it's confusing. I mean, we saw the Phillies make moves as if they're buyers, and they're one of the teams that appears to be on the outside looking in. So it's tough to say. I mean, the Indians, they think about the future just as much as they think about the present. So they're going to be looking for an outfielder or a position player, not just for this season, but someone who they can have for multiple years. And it's difficult to find a trade partner right now because there's so much uncertainty clouding the future financially, just in terms of like where teams stand after this bizarre season and how they evaluate what these 60 games mean. This is a lot more complicated. There are a lot more layers than normal, and I think that makes it a little bit tougher to pull something off, you know, one of those blockbuster marquee type trades.
Zach Meisel joining us from The Athletic. When the situation happened in Chicago with Plesac, he was put in a car and sent home. Clevinger then didn't speak up and hopped on the plane with everybody else. That couldn't play well. But it would appear, Zach, and you tell me, that it's played even worse than maybe everybody thought it might. There looks like there's some damage that's done here. Is it irreparable when it comes to Clevinger and his teammates? And even Plesac, after he made the video that I don't know if he thinks he should have taken it back, but my guess is anybody who's ever given him any guidance in his life thinks he should have taken back. Is that an irreparable situation, or can that be fixed?
I don't think it's irreparable, but that's the question that's been on my mind for at least the last week, and I've asked tons of people, and I don't know that there's a definitive answer yet. I think we might find out soon, but, you know, how much acceptance do you need from those in the clubhouse before you can make a move to bring one or both back? Do you need to have it? I mean, Chris Antonetti said we don't need to have a team meeting, but at the same time, he also said we need to make sure that this is a move that's going to go over well in the clubhouse. So it's tough. I mean, I think the most tone-deaf part about Plesak's video was that he seemed to have no understanding of how his teammates felt about the situation.
Yep.
And it's not just what Adam Plutko said or what Francisco Lindor said publicly. But behind the scenes, I mean, guys were frustrated. And the way to get something like that to blow over and to gain back that trust is certainly the opposite of what Plesak did there with the video. And of course, you know, Clevinger, I think, buried himself a little deeper just with the deceit. And you heard Plutko say that they lied to us. So, I don't think there was complete comprehension over how their teammates really felt. I think they certainly understood that better after the team meeting in Detroit that led to their dismissal. But it's going to be interesting because I think the Indians realize, you know, maybe they don't necessarily need both of them. You certainly don't need both of them to get to the playoffs in this season. But to be the best team you can be, I think you need at least one of them. And if not both, then you need one of them and you need to trade the other to get something of value. Because those two guys just twiddling their thumbs in East Lake, yeah, I think they maybe now realize the punishment and the stakes of what their decision-making could have cost them. But you need some production out of those spots on the roster.
So Chris Antonetti spoke over the weekend, and he kind of laid out the rest of the rotation, but then stumbled when he came to Wednesday and said, well, you know, that's Adam Plutko. He's going to throw a bullpen day today, and then, you know, we'll see what Wednesday takes us. Maybe it will be Plutko. Is that an area where you could see one of those guys maybe finding their way back into the rotation? Or was that just I guess if we're looking that far forward, Adam Plutko will be throwing that day.
No, that screams to me that they're – could very well be a new move. I would think we'd find that out maybe today. If not today, then tomorrow. But, you know, if Adam Plutko was just going to make that start on his normal day, then they would have just said that. So it wouldn't surprise me if it was Plesak, maybe Clevinger, maybe even Scott Moss, who's been in East Lake. And I know, Jeff, you were talking about him earlier. Like, I think he's 26 years old. You'd like to get a look at him and try to figure out what you have there.
Wouldn't you, Zach? You know, I mean, you really would like to get a look at the guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of why they went to McKenzie, is it's like, okay, this guy hasn't pitched in 2 years. We know he has a ton of ability. He's looked pretty good in East Lake. I mean, we want to see him pitch. And so what better situation than let him face the Tigers on a Saturday and, you know, it was his day to pitch and see what we have. It's not so much to showcase him, but it's more to just learn more about him. So I think it wouldn't surprise me if at some point this season you see the same with Scott Moss. I don't know if that would be Wednesday, but, you know, Plesak and Clevinger are eligible to return starting today. Obviously, there's no need for them today or tomorrow with Bieber and Savali the next 2 days. But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if one of them came Wednesday. But, again, you know, what is that process like? You know, do you need Oliver Perez and Francisco Lindor and everybody else to, you know, sign a sheet of paper saying, I'm okay with this? Like, I don't know how this is going to play out, but you certainly don't want to disrupt the clubhouse chemistry, especially after, you know, you've had a nice little 9-10-day stretch since you made that decision to send them to East Lake anyway.
Zach Meisel joining us from The Athletic. How bad is this offense? Is this – boy, it's just early in the season and the bats aren't there yet, but in a short season, you know, they better get there quickly. Or does this team just not hit, Zach?
Yeah, I mean, they have the worst outfield production in the majors by miles. I think the outfielders are hitting like 166, something like that total. In 28 games, they've used 18 different outfield combinations. I mean, that's hard to do.
Wow.
But that shows
Holy smokes.
That shows you how
Woo.
They don't know what, like, who to turn to. I mean, they're just pulling three names out of the hat every night and saying, here, good luck. And so a couple things. Number one, it's hard to get in a rhythm if you're only playing every other day, every third day. You don't know when it's going to be the next time you step into the batter's box. Number two, you just had guys, I think, get off to slow starts. I think, look, Jordan Luplow was like the third best hitter against left-handed pitching last year in baseball. That's not a fluke. So for him to hit 118 or whatever it is so far this season, he would get going at some point. He got off to a miserable start last year, too. But like you said, when there's 60 games and you're not playing every day and you know you're only going to have a finite amount of time to turn things around, you put a lot of pressure on yourself. And it's just, you know, it's just a bad situation. It's like a snowball rolling downhill and getting larger. And so I think it's tough. I think that's why it makes a lot of sense for them to explore outfielders on the trade market. But, you know, you compound the outfield with just minimal production offensively at catcher. And then Lindor and Santana struggling, and Jose's been in a slump lately. It's just, there's nobody in this lineup. I mean, Franmil got hot for a little bit. Santana had two nice days with home runs. There's been nobody who can, like, carry this entire offense. Or you need, like, two or three guys at a time to just get hot. But it seems like it's been zero or one. And it's, you know, once we're halfway through the season. So I don't think it's just going to, you're not going to flip a switch and this offense is going to look like the 27 Yankees.
Let me follow that up real quick, Zach. With that thought, though, and I'm with you on that. I wonder, do you think after trading Bauer, after trading Kluber, with Carrasco working his way back to hopefully being Carlos Carrasco before the leukemia, with Clevinger and Plesac doing what they've done and the questions surrounding that situation, do you think that the Indians front office is confident enough in their young arms that they still think they have that surplus of starting pitching that they can trade? In other words, you can trade Mike Clevinger, as good as he's been, and still be okay there while trying to fill a position of need. Like, if you could get an outfielder who you know you're going to put in left or right field for the next 3 to 5 years, and he's your guy and he's a good hitter, I can see that. But do you think they have the surplus of pitching that they think they can go ahead and do that?
So I think they have the surplus to where if it was the right deal, if it was an outfielder who has proven either is a top prospect and has the sort of pedigree to, for them to be confident he'll be a really good hitter for a long time, or someone who's proven it and has several years of control left, I think they'd feel comfortable doing that. I don't think they're desperate enough to just take the best offer they can get this week. It's tough. You know, think about, I mean, they were trying to trade Bauer for a while, and they thought they had dealt him a month before they did. You know, finally they make that trade, and look at all the different parts that were involved. So they take their time. They don't act out of desperation, but unless there's, you know, it's money forcing the issue, like with Kluber. But this year is just so difficult because I don't think anybody really understands what the landscape of the league is going to look like this winter or a year and a half from now when you have the CBA expiring. There's so many different variables involved. So I think, you know, I think they feel comfortable in their pitching depth, but like you said, I mean, a lot of it is still improving. You're not going to make any huge sweeping declarations based on one Tristan McKenzie start. You know, you don't know what you really have in Logan Allen yet. There are a couple other guys out in East Lake and then a couple guys further down the pipeline who they're excited about, but those are question marks, and you're not going to necessarily get answers on a lot of those guys this year. So I think they would be comfortable potentially moving a pitcher, but it's got to be the perfect deal, kind of like the Bauer deal was there at the last minute a year ago.
Zach, thank you very much. It'll
Thanks,
be a
dude.
Busy week for you, so we'll be in touch. Thank you.
Yeah, play your golf now.
Yeah, I think I need to take a little break. Appreciate it, guys.
Good luck brother. With that.
Talk soon.
Zach Meisel, you can read his coverage on the Indians on The Athletic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.